Kentucky Agriculture Commissioner James Comer is the only Republican elected to statewide office and maybe a candidate for governor one day. I'm Philip Bailey, and this is Noise and Notes. Comer came into office promising a new direction for his department. He partnered with the state auditor and immediately addressed the scandal left by his predecessor, former UK basketball star Richie Farmer, who is now reportedly being investigated by the FBI. I talked to Comer about Farmer's tarnished legacy, his own political future, and how this year's summer drought has hurt the entire Commonwealth from rural to urban areas.
It was really bad, but some of the corn yields are coming in. It may not be as bad as we thought, but it's still devastating because the yields in western Kentucky, where most of the agriculture is, most of the big yields and most of the total farm receipts come from far western Kentucky, they had about a third of a normal crop. So they were yielding about 60 bushels an acre, when in a normal year they would yield about 180 bushels with respect to corn. But the later crops that are planted later, the tobacco and soybeans, were actually very good. They were probably above average. But the corn crop was really bad this year.
As you said, western Kentucky was hit pretty hard. The region was given the exceptional drought status by the National Drought Mitigation Center. What state resources, particularly your department, are being employed to respond to that?
Well, basically, we're trying to educate farmers. Because of the extreme heat and the extreme drought, the corn that was harvested has a lot of problems. It's very high in nitrates, and that's a bad thing because a lot of the granaries are rejecting it. The FDA limits the amount of alpha toxins, what it's called, that you can have in each in your corn. Some of the corn that's being harvested exceeds the limit. So we're trying to educate farmers on what their options are. We're trying to be able to transition that into poultry feed because it's safe for animals to eat, may not be safe for humans to eat. So that's a service we've provided that's been very helpful to a lot of grain farmers. We've also opened up a hay hotline because the hay was harvested in May, mostly in Kentucky, because of the drought. There's a huge shortage of hay in Kentucky. So we're trying to locate hay from all around Kentucky and surrounding states and have a free website, free service for farmers to be able to purchase that hay. We're working with them on the logistics to try to get that hay delivered to their farm so we don't lose any of our livestock.
The hay hotline, in Louisville, we talk a lot about these urban issues. So the only hotline we're used to hearing about is, you know, the 574 LMPD number.
Right.
Why should Louisville residents who are in an urban setting care and pay more attention to this issue?
Well, because you go to the grocery store every day and you're going to see a spike at the grocery store, unfortunately, due to this drought, because the drought didn't just hit western Kentucky. It hit all of the grain belt. Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, all of the grain-producing states. As a result, corn now is around $8 per bushel. Just to put that into context, most of my life, corn's been around $3 per bushel. If you go in the grocery store, just about any product ranging from cereal to your soda pops have some type of corn product in it. Naturally, you're going to pay more now because corn has almost tripled in price. So what we're seeing is the consumers are now, unfortunately, going through this recession, having to pay more for food. Because of the shortage of hay, livestock, it's going to cost more for beef. It's going to cost more for milk. Those types of animals consume a lot of hay. So anytime the cost of operating any type of business increases, that cost is usually passed on to the consumers, and that's what's happening with agriculture. And that's why it's important to people in Louisville that the Department of Agriculture have a hay hotline to try to get more hay out to our farmers. And it's why it's important that we be able to salvage as much of the corn crop as we can so it's not wasted, because that would increase the shortage of corn even more if we didn't have an outlet for the corn. And the outlet that we've created is to put more of that corn that normally went for human consumption into livestock consumption to save the farmers.
One thing I consistently hear about Kentucky politics, and I've covered, is the rural-urban divide, mm-hmm. the divide between Louisville and the rest of the state. Obviously, people in the state feel one way about it. People in Louisville feel one way about it. Your job appears to be one of the few fault lines where you have to deal with both. You're in Louisville a lot,
right,
for different conferences and things of that nature. But at the same time, you're someone who used to represent a south-central part of the district in the House here in Kentucky. So you're someone who's used to representing rural people. Do you see that divide where people see the drought in the news people in the city don't get it, how that's related to them and vice versa?
Well, I think that when I first started in Frankfort as a state representative 12 years ago, that there was a big divide, and it was noticeable, especially when you were dealing with the budget and dealing with the six-year road plan for road projects and different things like that. I could see the divide, the urban-rural divide. I have seen that divide over the last 11 years close, and since I've been ag commissioner, we've had a great working relationship with Mayor Fisher, and it's been amazing to me to see the passion that so many people in Louisville have for the buy local movement. They want to support local farmers. They want to have a fresh, healthy.
So there's a possible coalition there between
the
Keep Louisville Weird movement and the idea of supporting Kentucky farmers.
Absolutely. The farmers appreciate the fact that roughly 20% of the state lives in the Louisville area. They appreciate the fact that a majority of the food products, farm products in Kentucky, end up in Louisville in some form or fashion. You know, from an agriculture perspective, Louisville is very important because we have, as you mentioned earlier, all of our major conferences and meetings are always usually in Louisville or Lexington. We also have the state fairgrounds. Now, that is an epicenter for agriculture. That is a huge deal for agriculture in Kentucky. We have the North American Livestock Show for the next 2 weeks coming up next month. We had the state fair for 2 weeks, which I consider a showcase of Kentucky agriculture. We have things like the Kentucky Beef Expo, the National Farm Machinery Show. Because I'm ag commissioner, I sit on the state fair board now, and I will tell you, of the 10 biggest trade shows we have in Kentucky, six of them are agriculturally related. And the biggest one next year will be the National FFA Convention, which is the Future Farmers of America. So you take the FFA Convention, the National Farm Machinery Show, the North American Livestock Show. Agriculture brings a lot of tourism dollars and economic development activity into Louisville. In turn, Louisville is a great market for our farm products, so I think we're beginning to close that divide between urban and rural, and I know that when I have an opportunity to go home or speak into rural settings, I make sure that the rural people know that Louisville is our friend. If we're going to grow in agriculture, we have to expand markets. We have to obviously focus on Louisville. Louisville is an area that I think is setting a trend that I hope spreads statewide with a passion for buy locally. And, you know, you go in restaurants in Louisville now and you see pictures of farmers on the wall where used to you would see athletes. And I think there are a lot of places in Louisville where people view farmers as I do, and that is an occupation that you should look at and have respect for and look up to as a hero. I look at food as I look at any other type of national security issue. Food is an issue of national security.
That's a big issue here in Louisville, food security, particularly in parts of West Louisville.
Absolutely. So Louisville's leading this movement that I think is helping people be more aware of where their food comes from in Kentucky. And I'm excited to be a part of it, and I look forward to working with people in Louisville over the next 4 years to help increase agriculture literacy and to help make sure that the rural farmers have a good market and a good outlet for their farm products.
You entered into office, and some of your first actions had to deal with, to be quite honest, cleaning up the mess left by your predecessor, that'd be former Agriculture Commissioner Richie Farmer. Were you surprised what the audit found, the state audit, what it found, and how much house cleaning was necessary?
I have been a little surprised, and I will say this, that worked very closely with Adam Edlin. We're in different parties, but I hope people see one thing from me in the first 10 months I've been in office. I don't care about political party. I care about agriculture. I care about good government. And I want to do what's right for the people of Kentucky. I want to represent the agriculture community well. And I feel like the Department of Agriculture, like every other government agency, should be transparent. When we had the transition, which you have a transition between every administration, whether it's the governor's office, the secretary of state's office, the ag commissioner, whatever. We had a transition, and we invited former commissioner Richie Farmer. We invited some of his senior staff to come before the transition committee. They wouldn't do that. That raised a red flag.
Were you surprised by that?
I was. We were in the same political party, and I never said anything bad about Commissioner Farmer, and I never have said anything bad about Commissioner Farmer. But when I walked in there that day, the first day, January 3rd, basically all they had for me was a key to the front door on my desk. There was no budget information, no inventory information, no numbers to call if you have any questions or anything. So we basically had to start from scratch. I was concerned because there had been a lot of negative stories written about the Department of Agriculture during the 2011 election when former Commissioner Farmer was running for lieutenant governor. So I called for an audit. The audit brought out a lot of bad things, a lot of inefficiencies, a lot of wrongdoing. But there were a lot of things that the audit didn't bring out for the reason that the auditor doesn't have subpoena power. So a lot of the people that the auditor needed to talk to refused to talk to the auditor, just like they refused to talk to our transition team. A lot of the documents in the previous administration had been shredded. So there was the things that the auditor needed to do to be able to thoroughly find out everything. The pieces weren't there. So what's happened, the auditor, did a good job. He turned the audit over to the attorney general and other authorities. The attorney general, I don't know what he's done, but the federal authorities have come in, and we're finding out more stuff. And
I think you recently said that the FBI has gotten involved now. They've requested certain information.
They have, and everyone in our office has been instructed by me to cooperate with them. We also have the Executive Branch Ethics Commission in there. We have the State Personnel Board in there. We have every government. We have the state police. We have just the ATF. Just about every investigative agency that you could imagine is in there. And through our efforts and trying to be transparent, we're finding more stuff out. More employees are coming forward every day. And I think that when all this is said and done, and hopefully that'll be in a few months, people will be astonished that there were this many problems in the department. But I'm confident that we're going to get through the problems. We're being transparent. We're being efficient. We're making the employees accountable. And we brought in all new management at the Department of Ag.
At one point, Richie Farmer was probably the most beloved politician, elected official in the state. It sounds like his tenure set back the department. Did it set back the agriculture department?
I don't think it set the department back. We were blessed in agriculture for the fact that during the last 4 years of Commissioner Farmer's administration, the agriculture economy boomed. We had record high commodity prices. The weather was perfect. There were no droughts. There was no extreme weather. Everything that could go right for agriculture went right. Now, the majority of the Department of Agriculture is okay. The majority of the employees, the career merit employees, are hardworking employees that are there for the right reasons and have done a great job. There were some bad apples, and those were the people that were written about the most. Unfortunately, they were in positions in the department which have caused problems. Now, we're going to testify on Wednesday to the House Agriculture Committee about the fuel lab, the fuel testing lab. And that's probably one of the worst parts about the department, because I was told as a state representative through sitting on the panel when they testified that the fuel lab was testing fuel in other states, that it was testing pesticides, that it was making money. Well, after compiling all this information, we concluded after about 4 months that it was losing about $1 million a year. They never tested any fuel from any of the surrounding states, nor had they ever put in a proposal to the surrounding states to test fuel. And the pesticide lab had never been used. And we regulate the pesticides in the Department of Ag, not just the pesticides that farmers use, but also if you call Orkin or OPC Pest Control or any of those companies in Louisville, Terminix, we regulate them. So we have all of that, and we had that fuel lab, that pesticide lab that we couldn't even use. We were having to send the pesticides to other states. So there's a lot of problems in the department that we're trying to bring out in the open. We're trying to open up and let sunshine shine in and be transparent there, and I think it's going to all work out.
I saw recently that your office received a letter from the Human Rights Commission concerning the lack of minorities being hired in your department. In an open letter to you, John J. Johnson, the head of the Kentucky Commission on Human Rights, called on you to foster, quote, greater diversity among the department's workforce, as well as on the boards, councils, and committees within the department. What are your thoughts on his letter?
Well, I'm all open to trying to bring in as many minority as we can have in the department. I think that's a no-brainer. I have called, when I first took office, I called the head of the Department of Agriculture at Western, at Murray State, and the dean of the College of Ag at UK. And I said, we are desperately needing to hire more minorities. We are very underrepresented in the Department of Agriculture with respect to minorities. And obviously, we're trying to bring in people with agriculture degrees and people with agriculture backgrounds. And we have not been able to have hardly any minorities apply for any jobs yet. We have hired a few. With respect to the boards and commissions that I appoint aren't like the governors. I don't get to appoint boards and commissions to the universities or to the state fair board or anything like that. Mine are to the, like the milk commission and the hemp commission and different things like that. So it's kind of the ones that I appoint on boards, you almost have to beg to get on a board. And we have made contact. We're trying to go to more minority job recruiting fairs. We're going to have representation there. We're going to try to do everything we can to get more minorities to apply for jobs at the Department of Ag.
Because I read in the report by the commission that the Ag Department has a total workforce of about 250 people, only 77 white females, and only 7 African Americans in total. So I guess there is some concern amongst, and I think only 1 Hispanic and maybe 2 Asian Americans who are listed in the report as well. Moving on to this issue of politics, like you mentioned, you try not to see political party in your administration, but you are the only Republican elected to statewide office. So I guess that makes you the de facto leader of the GOP, I guess right behind Senators McConnell and Rand Paul. Let me ask point blank. Do you have ambitions to run for governor in 2015 or beyond?
I'll tell you, my whole life, I grew up on a farm. I grew up in a small town. I love agriculture. I love politics. And when I was in college, I, of course, majored in agriculture, but I worked in a lot of political campaigns. I've always enjoyed being around politics. When I'm at home, I watch CNN all the time. So I am a political junkie.
I mean, you went down to Tampa.
I went to Tampa. That was actually the 4th Republican convention I ever attended. I attended 2 as a delegate and 2 as a guest. So I love politics. But I will tell you, my dream job's Commissioner of Agriculture, and I love being Ag Commissioner. I think we're doing some good things. The agriculture economy in Kentucky has been a bright spot in what's been an overall dismal economic environment for the last few years. I believe we can continue to grow the agriculture economy in Kentucky, and I believe that right now that the people in the ag community and the people in the rural communities have confidence in me, and they seem to think that I'm doing a good job as ag commissioner, I hope. So right now my plans are to be ag commissioner as long as the people of Kentucky will tolerate
me. You can do 2 terms, so yeah. Beyond your 2-term limit, maybe not even 2015, 2019, the governor's spot is something you're interested in, right?
Well, I mean, you know, it's everybody that's ever run for a city council or anything dreams of moving up, I'm sure. But I think that right now I'm focused on being ag commissioner. And, you know, if I do a good job as ag commissioner, then we'll see. If I don't do a good job as ag commissioner, then I'll go back to Monroe County and go back to the farm and work hard there, because I think if I don't do a good job where I am, then there's no point in even talking about a political future, because I won't have one. I've been given an opportunity. The voters of Kentucky crossed over by at least.
So you got a large percentage of the vote.
A quarter of a million Democrats crossed over and voted for me.
This is sort of like Alison Lundgren Grimes when she came on the show. She was telling me all the reasons she should run, but she didn't want to say she was running. Is it a matter of time? You just don't want to say it right now because you're giving me all the credentials. Why you would make a great gubernatorial candidate.
You know, people ask her that question. They ask me that question. They ask Adam and Jack the same question.
It seems to me that there's a new crop of leaders.
There's a new crop, and I think that's good, because we've seen a lot of the same old leadership in Frankfort for years that I think have held us back. And I say that about both parties, Republican and Democrat. And it's exciting that when you look at the constitutional officers, there are 3 or 4 that are younger in the Generation X that have some energy and some new ideas, and most of us, I think, tend to try to work together across party lines and not worry so much about party and trying to set the other party up for failure. So
I was going to ask, are you pleased with the direction of the state thus far? I mean, we saw in this legislative session the acrimony between Governor Beshear and State Senate President David Williams.
Right.
I mean, that pretty much put a stop to any sort of progress that was beginning to happen that in that session this year. Are you pleased with the direction that Kentucky is currently on?
No, I am not. I am very disappointed in the direction of the leadership in the General Assembly. I think the governor's a good man. I think he's trying hard. I think that he should be more forceful with the General Assembly. He has the ultimate bully pulpit in the governor's office. I support Steve Beshear as governor. We're doing a reception tomorrow, or a reception on Wednesday, for the pre-vice presidential debate. For the we're having a Kentucky Proud reception for the media. 900 media outlets from across the world are going to be there. Hopefully that will showcase Kentucky agriculture. The governor's been very good to me, and I support the governor, and I'm going to work with the governor. I think that we need new leadership in Kentucky. And I think that it's honestly too early to be talking about 2015, but I do believe that people of Kentucky, regardless of whether they're a liberal or a conservative, are hungry for new leadership and people that will work together and not be about political party, and that have new ideas and that want to do what's best for Kentucky and not best for a political party.
Do you believe that House Republicans, they can win enough seats to take back the majority? They haven't had that majority in 90 years. The House Republicans can take that majority back in that chamber?
I think it's possible. It's probably not going to happen, but I think it's possible. I think it's possible the Democrats could gain a few seats. From my observations traveling the state and talking to people, there are going to be a lot of close races in every part of Kentucky. Louisville, my part of Kentucky, Western Kentucky, Northern Kentucky, there are going to be a lot of close races that are going to come down to the wire. Now, I'll say this, the Democrats are better funded in those races. The Republicans benefit from a more advantageous environment in Kentucky, because I believe regardless of who wins a presidential race, I think Romney's going to run a lot better in Kentucky.
I think Romney's going to win the state by, like, what, 14, 15 points?
I think Romney will win the state by 15 points, and he won against McCain by 18, so I think he'll win by 15.
Now, speaking of Louisville candidates, State Senator Perry Clark was a guest on the show earlier this year. He's introduced a measure to legalize medical marijuana. Where do you stand on that proposal?
I'm against legalizing medical marijuana. I am 100% in favor of legalizing industrial hemp, and they're two totally different crops. I think we've talked about that before, but I think industrial hemp would be a viable option for Kentucky farmers. It grows well in marginal land. So what I say by that, central Kentucky, south central Kentucky, my part of the state, eastern Kentucky, the land there isn't as good and fertile as it is in western Kentucky. So industrial hemp would grow better there. And I believe that if we could grow industrial hemp, it would be profitable. It would yield more. It's a green crop. And I believe it would lead to more manufacturing jobs in Kentucky, because whoever buys the industrial hemp from our farmers is going to have to manufacture it. And we need new jobs in Kentucky. And I think this is something that's a win-win situation for everybody. It can help our farmers have a new market for their crops. It can help the environment because it's a green crop. And it can help create badly needed jobs.
You said you love politics, and it seems like it's in your blood. There was a little spat between you and former Louisville Mayor Jerry Abramson. I heard he's now known as the former mayor of Jefferson County. Never heard that term before, but we'll take it. Over Fancy Farm, the mayor, former mayor, now lieutenant governor, made a statement that he thinks the Fancy Farm is outdated. It's sort of rancorous, where people just yell and scream. It doesn't really add anything to the politics. You were the MC for Fancy Farm this year. I've been to it a few times. Love it. Why should we keep Fancy Farm, and why was Mr. Abramson wrong on that?
Well, I think he was wrong because Fancy Farm is a tradition in Western Kentucky. It's the biggest economic development attraction for that little community in Graves County. They raise enough money there to fund all of their 4-H clubs, their church, which is the St. Jerome Parish, which is the biggest church in Fancy Farm. It fills up all the hotels in Graves County
and
for the weekend.
And it's fun, too.
It's fun. it's a good event, and whether you like it or not, I don't think you should discourage people from attending it, because
where do you think that comes from? Because you, on your Facebook page, sort of said you thought it was maybe something to do with his being encapsulated in Louisville for so long. Mm-hmm. I tend to think that it might have something to be different, because both Senator Rand Paul and former Senator Jim Bunning had a problem with Fancy Farm.
Exactly.
They weren't Louisville guys at all. Is it more that people who are a bit sensitive, politicians, elected officials, who don't like that sort of atmosphere?
That could be it. That could be it. And I have nothing but respect for Lieutenant Governor Abramson, but I do think he was wrong in what he said. And you're exactly right. Former Senator Bunning and Senator Paul both said similar remarks. They're from urban areas as well. Bowling Green, I consider an urban area, and Northern Kentucky.
I'm showing my Louisville bias now.
Right, right. But I do believe that it's hard for them to realize, because they go to that fancy farm and there are a lot of people there, but in their eyes it may not be a big crowd like a Louisville football game or the state fair or something like that. But to Fancy Farm, that's the biggest crowd they have all year, times 10. And it does bring in a lot of economic activity. So when you say something bad about a little festival, which that is essentially a little festival for the Graves County community, that hurts the whole county. And I think their feelings were hurt, because they have a lot of pride in the Fancy Farm Picnic. That's the oldest political speaking event still going on in east of the, well, I guess anywhere in the United States. So it's something that we should be proud of as Kentuckians. It's something we should support. And if you don't like the atmosphere or the environment at Fancy Farm, just don't go. Don't say anything bad about it.
Well,
so that was my argument.
Long live Fancy Farm, man.
That's right.
Commissioner Comer, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.